Right.
Tell me a little more about your show, Brian. You told me the other night a bit about it, but tell me again if you don't mind. Give me a rundown on the Real News Online.
Basically, when I started it, it was to look. It's the focus has changed a little bit because when I started it, I was kind of just into the so-called waking up process, for lack of a better term, and you know, it was about a lot of like false flags and stuff like that, and hoaxes and stuff. But now it's turned into a lot more media fakery than anything, because so many different things turn out to be hoaxes. Not to say there aren't false flags, because there certainly are, but in most of the cases that we look at, like Sandy Hook, 9/11, it just over and over again, there's tons of media fakery everywhere. So we started, I started back in 2009 on a platform called Informed Radio, but I split from them after not too long because I did not like the way it was run. I didn't like the person that was running it. They would ask people for donations and stuff, and I am not down with that at all. So I left doing that, and I did a couple different radio shows under different names, like by myself, the Brian Stavely Show, The Wake Up Call, The Last American Radio Broadcast. And for those The Last American Radio Broadcast, I probably did the longest, and that was, you know, pretty much mostly all 9/11 stuff. And I did that. I was part of a forum, Let's Roll Forum, but in the long run, the administrator ended up attacking me for talking about media fakery, for having Simon Shack on my show to talk about media fakery on 9/11. They supposedly had a little rift between them, but it's really just made up, I'm pretty sure. So they outed me and two other people, Justin Cook and James Sloan. And Justin decided he would come with me if I was going to do my radio show, not, you know, with no affiliation to anybody, just run it off my website. The Last American, I built that website too, but The Real News Online is my main site, and that's where we run the Dose of Reality radio show now. Justin Cook joined me pretty much right from the start, maybe after a couple weeks, and then James Sloan, who was also a member on that forum, he started calling in often, and then we just asked him to be the third host. So it's the three of us now. If one of us isn't around and we need to go on, we'll still go on, but usually it's all three of us when we go on. Sometimes I do a lot of, you know, appearances by myself on other people's shows. Like I've been on, you know, Fetz's show and, you know, things like that. I do by myself a lot, but sometimes we go as a group.
How do they treat you?
No,
that's exactly what I was hoping for. How do they treat you when you go on those shows? Are you like caller or
No, that's a whole different thing. Okay, well, I've called into a few. The ones I've called into was when Judy Wood was on two shows, and we'll get into that in a minute, because what happened with those conversations was absolutely ridiculous. And that's somebody that I did think was out for the good of people and trying to do honest research, but we'll get into that in a second. But yeah, I've gone on shows as guests where we do like a whole. You know, they'll announce me as a guest. I'll be in the, you know, when they do it, they plug the show, they'll say Brian Stavely's our guest, blah, blah, blah. Every once in a while, I'll just call a show. But it's usually a guest appearance. Usually a guest appearance is what I'll do. But if there's a 9/11, like this weekend when you seen me post that thing, anyone doing a 9/11 show, I was kind of just scratching around to see if anybody was doing a show I could listen to and then maybe call in or jump in the chat if I wanted to.
Brian, that sounds like a good move.
Yeah, and like, you know, Marcus and Chris, you know those guys. I've been guests on their shows several times on each of them. So I do stuff like that a lot. I like to do that.
I heard – I downloaded the one with you on in Fakeologist when they had you on. And your friend, I believe it was James Sloan, called in.
Yep.
He's the Kiwi, yep. Kiwi, right?
Yes, that's him. Yeah. I know exactly which show you're talking about.
Yeah, he's a very clever man. I like him.
He's good. He's a young guy, too. He's really smart for his age. I mean, he's only like 24 right now. And when I started looking into this stuff and met up with him, that was like 5 years ago. So for somebody that young to be that deep into 9/11 or other stuff, it's pretty remarkable, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we've done a few shows with Ab. I was on Ab's second show that he ever put out, and then I was on probably like three more times. I've been on with Chris probably three or four times. He's been on my show probably five or six times, and Marcus, you know, two or three times both ways probably.
Right. That's where I first got to hear you talk. And then there was that big blow up, and then you kind of disappeared for a while. So what did you do during that time?
the nonsense with September Clues, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that we.
Yeah, that came right after the Let's Roll bull crap that I was telling you about too. So it was like all a coordinated effort by the two of them to get me out of there. I know it was. I mean, right. It was so absurd.
You said you took like 10 months off, right?
Yeah, I didn't necessarily take 10 months off because that was part of it, but I just needed to take care of my some stuff in my own life. So I honestly just had to put the research and stuff on hold a little bit. I had to straighten my own stuff out, and then over that time, I lost motivation a little bit for a few months. So I took a few months off. I needed the break, though. You know, some people kind of get on you for that, but I feel with all the time and effort I put in, you know, over all the weeks and months and years, I mean, if I need a break, I need a break. You know,
absolutely, yeah. What do you think, Robert?
About what?
About taking a break. About a break. Being full time on this thing. You know, none of us are really getting paid for it. So what's?
This isn't a
job.
Right?
Who says this is our job to go around 24/7 trying to wake people up? You know, it's sure. we also have things to do. All right.
Sure. I guess some people trust some people too much, or they get too involved in the on a personal level, and that probably lends itself to that.
And then people get associated with groups, and they have to, you know, stick with that group, and this group is mad at that group, so you got to figure out whose side you're on. And
oh, that's something. Yeah, I'd like to touch on that if we could. As far as like a couple of the phone calls I had, and I usually don't get into this, but I want to get into all of this with you guys. I think I talked about this with you in the chat. Did I talk to you about the thing that happened with Judy Wood?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll tell your buddy here if he hasn't heard. So basically, there came a time when I, you know, looked into 9/11 real quick. I'll go through it. You know, there was the Alex Jones phase, Jesse Ventura, realized they were, you know, Jones was a shill after, you know, probably less than a year, by the way he attacked no planers and wouldn't talk about the Vatican and the Jesuits and all this other stuff. Then eventually looking into it, I started to look into other angles, you know, as far as the towers not being as occupied, as far as fake video. And I across the way, I came across Judy Wood's stuff with, you know, the directed energy weapon theory. So I gave her an honest look, and I watched about 30 hours of her PowerPoint presentations, boring as hell, when I sat through them all. And then when her photographs that were in her book and everything came out, I spent, you know, months poring over those Ground Zero photos that she had. And she had some photos that nobody else had, and there's a reason for that. Most of her photos, at least all the ones I looked at back then, were all from one source, one photographer. I find that a little suspect, but I was willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, looking through the pictures and stuff, I noticed the toasted cars that she talks about. And, you know, they're all, you know, you've seen them all parked and all the rust marks on them and all the damage, whatever. But I noticed on all the cars that I saw, there weren't any license plates. Now, that's a little odd. I mean, you're telling me that just coincidentally this directed energy weapon wiped out all the license plates and all the cars but left mirrors and other things like that. So to me, it looked like they might be cars that were just towed there from a junkyard for a photo op, cars that weren't registered. That's why they had no license plates. And some of them were missing wheels and stuff, you know what I mean? So I decided to call her. She was on a show called The Late Night in the Midlands. And I have the audio. If you guys want to hear it after, I'll give it to you. She was on a show called Late Night in the Midlands. I called her. I was very polite to her. When I said, hi, Judy. She said, hi, Brian, blah, blah, blah. I asked her questions about – first I asked her about the paper. What is it that's so special about paper that it doesn't burn? You know, and then I asked her about the cars. And I mentioned to her I thought they were from a junkyard. And I would ask her questions about these things. And all she would do is talk circles. She would never answer one of the questions directly. And all she kept saying is, you need to buy my book. Or if you want to know the truth, you got to get my book. Blah, 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 blah. So they put me on hold. They said I disconnected. They come back. They take me again. I got a little frustrated with her talking in the circles. So eventually I just got off the phone. They let me go after about 10 minutes. A few months later, she's on another show called The Pete Santilli. Now, this is where it gets bad. So I call The Pete Santilli Show, and before I call, he goes just like this, all enthusiastic. He's like, we're going to open the phone lines now and take some callers. I'm here with Dr. Judy Wood. And then he goes, well, let's take our first caller. It's Brian in Massachusetts or whatever he said. So I say, he said, who's this? I said, this is Brian Stavely from The Real News Online. Right when I said that, he says, okay, well, we got to go to break. And he had just said they was going to open the phone lines. So then he's like, I said, hi, Judy. And she said, hi, or whatever. And then he corrects me. He's like, it's Dr. Judy Wood. I said, all right. And then I asked, I forget exactly what I asked. And she said, she actually, she started talking in circles again. And then I mentioned the Steel Spire video. How, what if that video is just CGI, when you see that turning to dust, and that's not a dustification that you're seeing in the video? And what if, you know, I asked her, what if you don't have all these contents to the tile? Is not because they were dustified, simply because they were way less occupied than we were told, so there's way less contents. Well, anyways, they put me on hold. She says, this is what she does. She says, well, it's obvious you haven't studied my material. So now when I go to say, I've watched 30 hours of presentations, I've pored over your pitches, they muted me. So now the whole audience thought I had no response. I'm yelling into the phone, I've done 30 hours of your presentations. I can hear the phone telling me, you have been muted. Like, it's telling you on the radio show, you've been muted. And she's over there telling the audience that I haven't studied her material. And then they go to break. They come back from break. Well, let me get a sip of this. They come back from break. They actually take another caller. This is just like that other show. They take another caller instead of taking me, which is really odd. Then he goes to put me back on. He goes, before we put Brian back on, I want to tell you about the PSYOP that's run on America. He said I was running a PSYOP on America because I called her Judy and not Dr. Judy, and I was trying to decredentialize her. Now, she didn't just sit there, and it wasn't just him. She actually got on the mic, and she said that I was trying to do that, and she said that only 10-year-olds call people by their first name. Excuse me? I call everybody by their first name. Pretty much everybody I know calls everybody by their first name. And the first time I called her, I said, hi, Judy, and she was fine with it. She said, hi, Brian, blah, 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 blah. So that, anyways, after all that, and after they disconnect with me, okay, I sent Peter Santilli an email on Facebook. And I just told him how displeased I was with being muted on his show, having words put in my mouth and all this. I didn't even swear at him or anything. He messaged me back and he said, fuck you. This is my fucking show. It's my fucking mute button. I'll do what I want, blah, blah, blah. But then, yeah, oh yeah, it gets better than that though. Now, that's, if that's not some unethical stuff right there, you know what he did next? He actually acquired my home address right down to the apartment number, okay, and my cell phone number. And he posted it on Before It's News Online, which has like millions of people. And he told people to go get me. Now, I'm the guy out there saying that, you know, 9/11 is a hoax, this and that. There's some people that get pretty pissed off about that shit. Now, this guy is telling people to go to my apartment and get me. And he's telling people I've been stalking him, harassing him, all because I called and questioned Judy Wood. He put my home address and my cell phone number online. It was absolutely ridiculous. So that's... that's what I've come to the assumption that she's up to no good, honestly, because she doesn't answer any questions. Just like, you could ask me anything, I'll give you my honest opinion. Anybody that's honest should give their honest opinion. All she will do is talk in circles and suggest you have to buy her book. So not only is she just pitching the book, she still won't answer questions. And they're important questions, and they're not hard for her to answer. But she won't answer them because they will contradict her theory, and that's why I ask her those questions. I know she can't answer those questions. I knew she wasn't going to answer them, but I had to make sure. Now, why can't you answer me when I say, those? You know, why do these cars look like they were just towed there? Why? What is it about paper that makes it so it can't catch on fire? You know, I asked her some real simple questions, and she just would not answer them. And the whole shenanigans that went down on that second radio show was ridiculous. I mean, I was muted. She put words in my mouth as they knew I was saying I looked at her material, and she knew who I was from the first time. So they put words in my mouth. Then he says I'm running a PSYOP on America. She joins in and says only 10-year-olds call each other by their first name. And then I get my home address and phone number published online. That, I couldn't believe that. That's part of what made me need a break too, because that really kind of pushed me over the edge. I was furious about that, and there were like 200-300 people that commented on that thread and told this guy he was a loser for doing that, and telling him, why don't he go on my show where I can't be muted? And he was swearing at everybody. Like, this guy's supposed to be a radio host. Like, in a conversation like this, yeah, if I drop an F-bomb here or there, that's different. But when you're like, I don't know, he's just, that guy's, you ever met that guy?
No, I'm not familiar with him at all. I know.
Beware of that guy.
What's his name again?
Yeah, beware of that. Peter Santilli.
Okay.
He thinks he's this big shot, too. We told people he's the Howard Stern of alternative radio. Nobody even knows who he is, though.
Were you ever contacted by any of the listeners? Or
what's that?
Were you ever contacted by any of his listeners?
Yes, I was. And that's why I go on these shows, even though I know these people are suspect. Same thing with Fetzer's show. I got a lot of listeners because they hear me on there, and they hear that I'll answer any question. And then they start to hear my theories compared to theirs. And I've turned a lot of people right off of theories they've been following for a long time because they realize, hey, she can't answer these questions, or he can't answer these questions. Or, oh, this doesn't make sense now that I'm thinking about it, or now that it's presented to me. So, yeah, I definitely got people. I got a lot of people from his show. They were disgusted with what he did. And then they became listeners of mine. And same thing with, you know, other people whose shows I've been on or forums I've been in. I always take people with me. You know, I don't ask them to; they just come.
That's excellent. So, what are the issues that they won't talk about?
They won't talk. Okay, here we go. Right. So, 9/11 has all these different theories. Okay, all these different theories about what happened. You guys know, obviously, there's DEW, there's mini nukes, there's media fakery, there's thermite, there's the official story. Blah 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 blah. There's a million stories. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they do this on purpose. They want a million different stories because if there's 90% of the population that's never going to look into the shit and 10 of us are, 10 of us care, well, they don't even want the 10 of us to be a 10%. They divide the 10% into 1%, 1%, 1%, 2%, 1%, you know what I mean? All these different camps because the camps can't work with each other because they're so stubborn, even though they call people that aren't truthers stubborn. They're so stubborn that once they latch onto a theory, a lot of them won't entertain any other theories. They'll think people are just shills because they have different opinions. And that's just lunacy right there. What they won't talk about is media fakery. Because that's their biggest secret. When I say media fakery, I mean fake videos put out, presented as real video. I mean staged witnesses, staged family members that aren't really family members pretending they're grieving, like a Sandy Hook type of thing. That's all falls under the media fakery umbrella. They don't want you to know about that. They're okay with you believing it was a directed energy weapon. They're okay with you believing it was mini nukes. They're okay with you believing it was Arabs. They're okay with you believing any theory you want, but they do not want you pointing at the media because that's the trick that they use over and over and over again. That's their biggest weapon. That's their biggest form of propaganda is the media. And now it even goes to the internet too. It's not just television, because these outlets all have websites that people go to and they show up in your news feed and all this. And there's just so much fake crap out there, but they don't want you to know about that. That's their biggest secret. And the other thing that none of these people will touch, there are people that will go a little deeper, like say a Fetzer, for instance. He'll go and admit that some of the videos might be fake, but then he pushes the idea that there were holograms there. And the other thing that he won't ever go into, and none of them will go into, is any of the deaths being fake besides the airplanes. A lot of people will concede about the airplanes, but none of these people will concede that maybe some of the deaths or all the deaths in the towers could have been hoaxed. They won't talk about that at all, because the reason for that is the fear. The fear is their other biggest weapon. Once you realize that, you know, 3,000 people might not have died, or you assume that, whatever, however you want to put it, you don't have that same fear. I mean, you know, they lost their whole punch on the thing. It's different. You know, you look at it in a whole different light.
Right. The propaganda stops working if you can't keep repeating that stuff ad nauseum on TV, or if it doesn't have any effect anymore, then it loses all its teeth. Also, if the media is proven to be fallacious, then they can't do it again with something else. That's like the last thing they're going to let go, is that it,
exactly.
It could be,
that's the one thing they
media.
Never want you to know about.
Right. So you think it's been worth it? You feel like your reason for doing this and all that? Like, I know people have different reasons. What is it?
I'll tell you.
It.
Just yeah, make sure this is recording. I got to get this. This is the good stuff to put on the site.
Great so far.
So what happened in, it was like 2009, okay? I was totally not on this side of the fence. I when 9/11 happened, not only did I totally buy it, me and my friend were so paranoid about Al-Qaeda and Arab terrorists that there was a guy that lived across the street from us, and we lived in an apartment building. and we used to spy on him because he had a store that had like nothing in it, so we thought it was a front for a terrorist organization, and we used to spy on this guy with binoculars. Okay, that's how brainwashed I was by the media. I used to watch Bill O'Reilly and cheer him on. I thought he was the best. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I thought he was the best. That guy's the biggest douchebag out there. The biggest war monger probably on television, you know? Right. So, anyways, I like to go out a lot, go to a lot of Red Sox, Patriots games, stuff like that. I used to play a lot of video games. 2009 came. I happened to stumble across a movie on Netflix. It was called World Trade Center. It had Nicolas Cage in it, and I don't know who the other actors are. He was the only one I recognized. Basically what it was a movie pushing the whole angle of the firefighters being stuck under the rubble. So the whole movie was pretty much the towers came down and then these guys are under the rubble, and it's all about them like talking as they're buried and stuff. So after I seen that, you know, I believed it. I was furious. That didn't push any conspiracy angle at all, really, okay? But I went and I searched on Netflix for more 9/11 stuff because I wanted to see. So I put in 9/11 hit search, and Loose Change came up. It was the one that we know that's the third edition now. I watched that. That's all about, you know, explosions going off in the building before the planes and people being stuck in there, and it's all about, you know, conspiracy has taken place or whatever. And so that led me to Alex Jones, and I went that whole route for a while, and that made me want to build my website, and then I started doing radio shows, and I started I did know fairly early, though, that Flight 175 wasn't what it was presented to be. So when Alex Jones started attacking all these people for that, that made me dig into him and look into what he was really all about. And it only took me like a week or so of really digging into it to totally distrust the guy. And then it opened up a whole new eye for me for looking for people that were, you know, put out as, you know, gatekeepers for, right. You know, for lack of a better term. It made me realize that they're everywhere. They were all around me.
Yep.
And that
World Trade Center movie, I believe, wasn't that based on those two firefighters who were part of the cleanup effort? They weren't actually involved in the actual collapse. There was a landslide of debris that covered a truck. And I believe that was like at the end of the first day. They uncovered those two dudes, and then the video was all the workers clapping and whistling at these guys saying, "You guys are heroes, man. You guys are heroes." Because they thought that those guys were actually in the initial collapse, but actually it was something that happened like on the side somewhere, and then that was turned into World Trade Center. So I haven't seen the movie. Do they portray those guys as being actually buried in the initial collapse?
I honestly can't remember if they were in the initial collapse or something that collapsed on them after. I can't remember because that was so many documentaries ago, so many movies ago. That was the very first one. I just remember most of the movie was them stuck underneath the rubble, and they were trying to talk to each other and free their arms and stuff like that. I mean, they were stuck under there for a good hour and a half of the movie. That's what it was all about. I just remember the rubble coming down on them and them being stuck.
Yeah, I just remember that story on the news on that day. It was like they reported it as they have freed two people from the rubble, and everybody was all excited, thinking, "Oh, somebody survived this thing. That's amazing." And then, like a couple days later, they said, "Oh no, those guys were actually first responders that were, you know, they came to respond to the site and were buried as in some sort of landslide or something." Total bullshit. It was portrayed as like somebody made it. Do you remember all the false stories that happened that first day? Do you remember the thing about the firefighter surfing down on the rubble?
Yep.
I mean, then there was that picture of the guy on top of the building with the
plane. Supposedly surfed down like 80 floors or something.
Right.
And yeah.
All that. I remember that first day. There was so much crap flying around. It was amazing how much hearsay was going on, and it was totally.
Yeah, I don't remember actually seeing it on the first day, but I've seen so many videos, you know. So I've seen that. You know,
I've seen all videos
from the first day.
Yeah, it wasn't. They didn't have video of it or anything, but they said that there was an account of a firefighter.
Yeah.
Surfing. I remember in trouble.
Yeah. That's not.
Yeah, I know they didn't have a video, but they talked about it on the news.
Right, so that stuff was free game for like the first week. They could publish anything they want, and people would eat it up because they were so in shock.
I've had a lot of people come at me though, as far as people in the truth movement that are fairly well known. So I have a feeling that, you know, I already had a real strong feeling, obviously, or I wouldn't say what I'm saying, but I have a real strong feeling that I'm on the right course because I've come up with so much opposition from these people, you know, whether it be, you know, Judy Wood or Fetzer or Simon Shack. Willie Rodriguez was trying to be my buddy, you know, the guy that was the supposed last man out of the towers. Like, I got stuck in a phone conversation with him for like 3 hours listening to his fucking bullshit story, which we already went poured over his story for like a year, and there's so many holes in his story. I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start, okay? And he's on the phone trying to tell me, I know me and you see different on 9/11, blah, 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 blah. He tried to, like, he saw what went on with the Let's Roll bullcrap right before the September Clue stuff. So he tried to buddy up with me because him and Phil Jahan from Let's Roll supposedly have a feud too, just like he has with September Clue. So he tried to, like, buddy up with me. And he's like, I'll come on your show anytime you want and talk about this. And I'm like, nah. I was like, I'll call you back, man.
Nice.
Yeah, but I've had people like impersonate me on my site, like to drop comments pretending they were me, which isn't the biggest deal. But I've had people like photoshopping me in pitches. I've had people somebody shut down my Facebook group on me. It's just a whole bunch of weird stuff, you know. Plus, all these encounters with these people makes me think, you know.
Yeah, the thing that happened with you after I heard you on Hoaxbusters, I was dumbfounded. It was like, well, why? He didn't say anything wrong. You know, there was nothing I heard him talk about that made him sound like anything other than just a person. Well, you know, I don't understand why everybody ganged up on you like that. It was so strange.
Oh, on the September Clues, yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah. They said I was a shim, a shill, a sim. They have a thread called Are They Really Shills Online, and 20 pages of the 40 pages is about me. It's like, and I offered these guys to call me. You know, I told Hoy Pillay to call me. I gave him my phone number, and people from the forum called to see if I was real. And you know what? Just like you asked earlier, those people follow me now. They're in my Facebook group. They message me all the time. We exchange information, but they know I can't go on their site. I mean, I'm banned from it. You know, not that I would want to go on there now anyways after all that. I mean, they went on for like a year on me, just kept saying, maybe not a year, but it was like 9-10 months. They just kept saying I was a sim. My show was automated. Like, I take live callers. How's my show automated? What are you talking about? And then they said all my pictures were fake. All my friends were fake. I got like 2,000 pictures online. They're all fake. I mean, you're making your Vixim stuff look bad by doing this. And I wonder if it's on purpose now because people are starting to look at it. I mean, I don't know. But they're drawing all red circles and red squares on my friends. You saw that, right?
Right.
What do those red squares and circles even represent? They don't even tell you. They just leave it on there like, oh, we're looking at this and we're looking at that. They said the lighting was wrong in my pitches, and it was crazy, dude. I was in like a function hall for somebody's mother's birthday. So there were like 100 people rented out a hall. These guys said I was in like a USO Army base. I don't know what the hell they said, dude. Then they said my car accident was fake. They put pictures of my car up. They even forged the pictures of the car. They put up something called like metadata or something that the phone, like, you know, imprints on every photograph. Uh-huh. But they put up stuff that didn't even go with my photographs because they put up stuff that was from an Apple phone. I don't even have an Apple product, never have. So they were like forging photographs of me. And they said my car was fake, like the hood on my car wasn't real, like it was photoshopped or something. Like, these guys were just ridiculous. It came down to I had to make a live video of myself showing like a channel online that shows the weather and the time. And then, you know, I showed my apartment. I showed my dog that they said was fake. Then I just mocked them. I asked Hoy Pillay if he wanted to take my trash out. I asked him if he wanted to walk my dog, like all types of shit, just because I had enough with them. I put that on the September Clue site, and they took it down and banned me. That was that. But I never did anything to them. I was just went over there. I was doing honest research. I was giving good input in a lot of threads, I thought. I let Simon come on my show and get his story out, and I thought the show was much better than when he goes on AB shows. Like, I just thought my format was much better, you know? And I have Justin with me, and I just thought it was a really good show when we had him on.
Yeah.
But he goes on other shows, but he doesn't come on mine. He attacks me. I don't know what was wrong with my show. And then they told – they told AB and they told a couple other people, I know Hoy did, that they can't have links to my site up on this. Well, they won't be associated with them at all.
Yeah, it's interesting how those guys, they can attack, they only want to talk about 9/11 when they're on a show. That's the only subject they really want to cover, except for maybe Sandy Hoax or something like that. I've heard them talk about
because that's all they're prepared to talk about. They won't talk off the whim. You know what I'm saying?
Right. They have everything prepared.
and everybody who is a shill that just happens to have been having a dust up with them recently or has been involved with them recently that they've decided to say was a shill. They don't go after, you know, the broad range of shills. They just say, like, these guys on these, you know, on Clues Forum or on Fakeologists or whatever are fake. It's got a very AOL feel to it, like a walled garden. You know, like why is their focus on 9/11 and people who are, you know, in our way or whatever? It seems very draconian the way they pick subjects. You know, it's like must smash opposition and only talk about 9/11. You know, that's the directive.
Yeah. Because they don't want to answer questions they're not prepared for. Just like when I'm talking about the phone call with Judy and I ask questions that she isn't prepared to answer because she can't answer them. These guys are afraid of that. They're smarter than that. They don't want to put themselves in that position, so they just won't talk about anything besides 9/11 because 9/11 is the only thing they're prepared to talk about because they know every angle. They have a bullshit line for every angle if they need it. You know what I mean? On these other topics, they're not prepared. They don't. They're not ready. They might say the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys get into other stuff on your show, other subjects?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you guys into?
Yep. I'll pop up my archive in a minute so I can read through it while I'm talking to you. But we do – I mean everything that comes up from, you know, Sandy Hook, the marathon, stuff going on with Syria, you know, other fake videos from stuff from before, like, you know, Gulf War and, you know, all different stuff. We've talked about, you know, Monsanto and GMO foods. We talk about, you know, other big pharma issues. Basically, you know, anything that the regular media won't tell you. But, you know, it's mostly – you know, government hoaxes type stuff, but because it's just shifted that way a lot. But we started out by talking about, you know, a lot of other stuff too.
So you're not into talking about UFOs and crystals and channeling and shit like that?
No. not against it, just not into talking about it.
Right.
I'll give you my honest opinion. I believe there's got to be UFOs. I'd be ignorant to think there's not somewhere.
Right.
I just don't think we've seen them yet, but that's just my opinion. I haven't done a lot of research into it, admittedly, but no, we don't talk about that. Not really.
Right. I think they're, that's pretty
and,
much
and there's not a, there's nothing against it. It's just, to be honest with you, that will turn a lot of people away from the other stuff we're trying to talk about, you know?
Yeah, that, and it's pretty much irrelevant to whatever most what's going on this planet. You know, if there are UFOs around, they sure don't seem to be a thing that's worth bothering about. You know, it's not like you know, even in the 80s they were coming down and picking up cows and stuff. They don't even do that anymore. It's like UFOs are only, it seems like now they're just there as a distraction to put on the conspiracy community.
Yeah, and you know what would happen if I talk about UFOs just once? You know, I try to tell somebody about 9/11, they'll be like, that's the guy that talks about UFOs.
Right. Yeah,
that's what they'll say.
Branded.
You know.
Yeah.
It's too bad. You know. But I've done so much work on this end. I can't dive into that right now. And as sad as it is to say, willing to sacrifice. You know what I mean? It's just it wouldn't work. That's just the fact. It's not my opinion on things, but that's just how people look at it.
So how do you feel about solutions? That's what Marcus likes to talk about.
Well. I don't know the solution. My only thing, I'm going to try, I'll try to inform as many people as I can, and that way they can take these things into account and hopefully apply it to their lives and live a better life for themselves, whether it's being less stressful because the things they know on the news now, they know that they're fake, or whether it's they put better food in their body, you know, different things like that. I do what I can to try and turn as many people I can into wanting to look into the information. I'm not going to be out there at any, like, marches with a megaphone or any of that crap. I don't do that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I'll stay home. I'll talk to anybody that wants to Skype. I do a lot of calls like this. People want to talk to me about 9/11 all the time, especially the last few months. It's been really crazy. My mailbox has been blowing up. So I do a lot of this, and I do, you know, try. I just want to try and do my radio show. But the radio show has been very successful. There's been months where we've had 10,000 visitors to the archive, which is for a show of what we talk about. I think that's extremely well. The 9/11 blog I wrote, it's 3 years old, and it's still got 11,000 people last month on my site. You know, it's had so many hundreds of thousands of people that read it. And yeah, the archive numbers have definitely dipped lately, but that's because we haven't had any new material for so long. People have heard everything, you know? So I want to get back to doing shows on a regular basis. The only thing is I didn't like having shows scheduled every Wednesday like I did, because then I feel like we're pressured into putting out a show even if there's not enough material. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to put out any subpar shows, because if somebody has a subpar show as one of their first times in our archive, they're going to think the rest is like that. And I want to make sure every show is really good. So even if it's once or twice a month rather than three or four times a month to have a better show, I'd rather do that.
Right on. Yeah, that's what I strive for is having something to talk about every time. And sometimes, like if certain groups dwell on just 9/11, then you know, like you just said, how much is there to talk about 9/11? Ultimately, you know, there's only so many rabbit holes to go down. So that's
yeah.
Why
no, we talk about other stuff, because it's like, for instance, Justin, one of my co-hosts, he's so sick of talking about 9/11, and I don't blame him. He's been doing this longer than me, you know. So he gets kind of frustrated if we talk about it every week, and you know, I get a little frustrated too. I like to talk about other stuff, but it does come back to 9/11 a lot.
It shouldn't be forgotten for sure, but it I think it should be brought up when it's appropriate to something else. I think that's a great time to bring it up.
It is the biggest hoax that they've done, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Mark says, he'll never stop talking about 9/11, you know. But also, as time's gone on, he gets a little weary of it at times. Like Chris Kendall, the first time I had a Skype call with him, you know, not recorded, just talking to each other, that was one of the first things we brought up, is how fucking sick we are of talking about of people just going on about 9/11 for a 5-hour Skype call, you know, every week. You know, it's like, well, how much more is there to talk about? But that's why we do the solutions thing. But I also think that's just one topic. You know, it's like solutions. I think it's important to talk about like what your life is like and share that with others. You know, like being this guy who is, you know, having issues with friends and family and the people around you, and what that feels like to feel so
isolated. Oh, it's caused
isolated.
A lot of problems. Yeah, it's caused a lot of – I got real isolated. It caused a lot of problems with family. My father wouldn't talk to me for over a year because of my Sandy Hook post. And he was so dead wrong, you know, but he wouldn't look at anything. He'll just believe what he sees on the news.
Right.
So he actually he doesn't use Facebook. He does now, but he didn't use it at all. But he had an account. And he never, ever, 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 ever sent me a message or wrote on my wall or anything on Facebook. He would just call me on the phone, you know. And the very first time he ever did anything on Facebook with me, he commented on my status about Sandy Hook, and he told everybody how ashamed he is to have me as a son. And then he defriended me, blocked me, and didn't talk to me for a year. And this was December 23rd. So he called me later that night. I let it go to voicemail, and he left a message, and he uninvited me to Christmas. All over my post on Sandy Hook.
Damn. That's harsh.
Yeah, he's a stubborn bastard.
Yeah, well, that generation, right? Our parents and our parents' parents, there's no escaping the matrix for them. They seem to be way more locked in than people nowadays.
Yeah.
They were born and raised with everything is fine, the government's great, go work at a job until you –
Well, because there was no alternative source of information. Now with the internet, everybody having access to it, you know, there's definitely a ton of bullcrap out there, but there also is truth if people look around. There's just so many alternative views on anything.
Right. There's a million channels that people are getting their information out of, and even your individual internet feed is selected by computers on what you're going to see versus what your neighbor sees. So it's a great way to divide and conquer everyone. You know, even if they feel like they're a part of this small group, you know, everyone in that group is getting a different channel sent to them, so that you can pick and choose how you mess with them by what you send down the pipe. So Robert, you got any questions?
No, I'm just listening to you guys.
Thanks.
Now, where is this going to be put up? Who has the radio show here, and can you give me the link?
It's True Lies on TalkShoe.
True Lies on TalkShoe. True Lies, two words or one word?
Robert?
Two words.
One.
What's the call number? Do you know?
You know, I don't even know offhand. It's on Stitcher also. it's on Stitcher.
Brian. I'll look it up.
All right, cool. Yeah, if you could throw me the link, I'd like to. That way, when people leave comments and stuff, I could check in and read it.
It's also on that podcast.
Cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and if it's on TalkShoe, you don't even got to send me the file. Once you put it on TalkShoe, I can just download it off TalkShoe. Okay. So you don't even have to.
You got it.
Unless TalkShoe chops it up, and it's easy. If you can't send me the whole file over TalkShoe, like if you have to chop it up, just send me the whole file. Yeah.
Yeah. Robert.
Because don't they limit you?
We can put it on Google Drive and then give you permission, and you can download it off of that if you want. You'll just get an email saying click on that, and you can download it. That's probably the easiest way. Well, one of, but you know, I hate to involve Google if I can avoid it, but sometimes.
Yeah, I backed up all my shows on Google Music because they give you like almost unlimited space, but I have them backed up in 5 other spots too. I just use that.
Really?
What kind of
music are you into?
Mostly hip hop and some rock, but the last 10 years I really hate most of the music that's come out, honestly, so I'm kind of stuck in the 90s.
Yeah, I have the same problem.
I really am. I really don't like the new stuff at all. It's crap. It was just in the 90s, there was so much good rock, alternative rock, and rap. It was crazy for a whole 10 years, you know, and then since like 2003, it's really fallen off my eyes.
Right, me and Robert were just talking about that before the call. That music has turned almost completely electronic now, to where even the hottest song on the radio now sounds like something you would hear in an elevator. You know, it sounds like Muzak now. And in the 90s, it seemed like it was half-half. Like it was like a transitional thing, where there's still a lot of good music, but then there was a lot of electronic stuff on top of that, and that was kind of the direction it was heading at the time, but nobody really noticed it. And then now it's you know, Lady Gaga and shit.
Yep.
It's insane. Like I teach English here in China, and all my students know who Lady Gaga is, and they want to hear, like, you know, Justin Bieber songs and stuff like that in English class. And it just drives me nuts because it's like, okay, well, I'll bring you guys a song, and I bring in something from, you know, the 90s, and here, this is good, it's nice and slow, you'll like this, and they're like, nah, this sucks, you know, I don't dig this at all, you know, it's because they don't hear anything but elevator music all day long, so it doesn't sound like what they know.
Yeah, the stuff they listen to boggles my mind, they like it. Absolutely boggles my mind. So, let me ask you something. Both of you, what is your guys' take on 9/11? What's your theory about what happened? What are you into? What do you believe?
You want to go first, Robert?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'd say I'm in a weird place about it now because it seems like it's to the point that I definitely believe that there were no planes. I definitely believe that there's video fakery. I don't think there was one shred of real footage that was not manipulated, and that leads me to wonder about the whole rubble pile dustification versus, you know, this and that thing, and that leads me to believe that it's so strange now about the whole. I'm pretty sure there was something like a controlled demolition going on, but it doesn't.
Oh, I believe there was too.
But it doesn't
because they had to be.
It doesn't fit into what controlled demolition, people who do controlled demolition for a living say should happen. Like there should be
I don't think they showed us the real collapse videos. I think the towers were demolished somewhat very close to the timeline we were told because they had to, so, right. You know, to make the stunt believable. I tend to think they were brought down in a typical demolition. Now, if you're wondering why would they do it opposite of what they put on TV, well, the top-down collapse that they do on TV, besides the fact that it's more scary looking, it's the shock and awe factor. Mm-hmm. They can also control it. They can also adjust the speed. If you notice how fast they came down, people talk about the free fall speed. Well, what if the video is fake? Right. I tend to think the buildings were demoed in a conventional way. Now, if people happen to get close enough to see it, it's just like the people in New York that might have been there for 9/11 that will lie and say they saw our plane, even though they didn't, just so they don't feel left out. They're not going to bring up the fact that the collapse was down up instead of top down. You know what I mean? They're not even going to realize that.
Right. Right. I got a buddy here who was from New York. He was in New York in school on the day, and he swears up and down that he was sitting in his classroom looking out the window at Manhattan and just happened to be the first one to see the plane hit the building, and he told all his friends. And he's asking me if I wanted him to come on these conspiracy talks and stuff, and I'm like, no, I'm not a chance. And he's like, why? What do you mean? It's like a good eyewitness, right? And I'm like, no, you're lying. There's no way that you were the first one in your class to see that. No way. I don't believe it. Even if he was in New York.
Yeah. Now, you guys have probably seen my work a little bit, I'm assuming, since we're having this phone call, so you probably know where I stand as far as the victims.
I'm a no victims kind of guy. I'm actually no planes, no victims, no towers. I'm that far gone.
All right, because it took me a while to come to that. It started with me realizing that the towers were never completed, or they at least weren't completed the way they said they were. There were a lot of floors that were never finished. There's actually proof that proves Marsh McLennan and Cantor Fitzgerald, the two companies that supposedly lost over 40% of the victims. There's a lot of evidence backing up them being involved ever since the 70s when the towers were put up. They said to be occupying floors that definitely were not built yet at the time. It's even on the occupancy report that we acquired from the Freedom of Information Act. We have the occupancy report. They said to be on the floors in 1976, and these floors, and we have the pictures of the towers from 76 and 78, they weren't done yet. They couldn't have been on those floors. Now, those same floors, the elevators don't access those floors. And those same floors is also the impact zone of the second plane. You know, it's just a little ridiculous. And then you learn that they had a subway into the towers that let out 325,000 people a day. So if you have a subway in Manhattan through the World Trade Center, what do those people dress like?
Business people?
Exactly. And what do people that would work in the towers dress like?
Workers.
So what is going to happen when 325 people from the subway keep walking in and out of the towers? It's going to look like the towers are plenty busy. Nobody's going to know the difference.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying there weren't any companies. There were definitely some real companies in there. For instance, the restaurant Windows on the World was real. That's why they started the attacks early, because the tourists weren't allowed in until 9:30. So they didn't have to turn away tourists and have to deal with another unknown factor. As far as the victims, first off, every single person that's ever confronted me and said that they knew somebody, it always turns out to be they didn't know anybody. I mean, anytime I try to debate it with them, 90% of the time they don't even come out with a name, okay? They just want to pretend that they know somebody and argue with me. It's absolutely ridiculous. But there's two people from near here. There's one guy from my city, and there's one guy from the next town over he would have actually been the first victim of 9/11, because he was the pilot on Flight 11. If there was a Flight 11, which there wasn't, but if there was, he was the pilot of it, sitting in the front of the plane, hit the North Tower. His name is John Oganowski. So I took it upon myself to actually do some real groundwork and not do it on the internet and prove, because they put a video out on the news of his brother, and they accidentally captioned it as him, but we thought that they were trying to pull some crap, and him and his brother might have been the same person. So I had to look at it from that angle. And I went down to the archive at the UMass building, and I got his yearbook from high school, his brother's yearbook. They didn't look like they weren't worn properly. They didn't look like they were planted there. They looked like they had been in there for years. They were both where they were supposed to be in the yearbooks. They didn't look like anything funny was going on. Then I went to City Hall. I got both of their birth records. Everything looked legit. But then I went and I got I went to the tax assessor's office. And for $10, I was able to get the tax records on their property. It's public information. So the tax record on their property, it was really strange. It showed that a company called Avco actually gave the house to his wife in 1990. And I'll get back to Avco in a second. But the reason that's important, the daughters of his, okay, his oldest daughter, who's in her early 20s right now, she lied about when they moved to Draken, at least by the paperwork. Draken's the town. She said they moved there in 1995. They moved there in 1990, which was 5 years earlier. So then I'm thinking, well, why would she lie about this? And this is a little involved. You got to try and stick with me here. But
okay.
I'll show you his pictures in a minute. I'm going to sit down and show you them while we're talking. But basically, there's a picture of him in the cockpit. Okay. Now, my theory about 9/11 is some people really did take some money to disappear. Some real people did exist, but they're not dead. They just did it for their government or whatever. They think they're doing something for their country, as sleazy as it is, you know, and they took a payoff. He'd be the perfect type of person to do that. He's been in the military his whole life. It'd be just like another deployment for him, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a picture of him in the cockpit. Now, the picture is very dated looking. It looks like it's from the early 80s, maybe even late 70s. Like, it's really, really worn. The colors, you can tell, it just looks really old, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there's another picture of him with his daughter. And again, there's now this photoshopping going on. They took a picture of her as a little girl and photoshopped it on his lap. Now, why would they do that? Here's why they would do that. They are trying to pass off an older picture as him as being a picture close to 9/11. So now, seeing that it's 13 years after 9/11, you're not even looking at a 13-year-old picture of him if he tried to come back into, you know, civilization or whatever. He's not going to come to Drake it. But he doesn't have to hide out. Now, hear me out. If the picture's from 1980, the picture's like 33 years old right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So this guy is 33 years older than what people imagine him to be and remember seeing him as. And by putting the girl on the lap of him, the people know how old the girl is. So she wasn't around in the 80s. So they think the picture is automatically from the 90s. It validates the date that they're trying to push off as the picture. Right. And then I looked into him more because I seen all this chicanery going on. I looked into who Avco was. Now, Avco gave the house to his wife. It was never in his name. And then after 9/11, she gave the house to a trust fund for $1, a trust fund in her name. Now, I looked at who Avco was. Avco makes missiles for Raytheon and for the Department of Defense. So that's who paid for his house and gave it to him.
How about that?
At least that's what it looks like, and that's what the tax records tell me. And right. They're lying about the dates that they moved there to try and cover it up, and they have a Photoshop picture of his girl on his lap to make the date on the picture seem more current. And I'll show you the pictures. What do you think about that? That's crazy, right? But that's how they do it.
That doesn't sound that far out at all to me. I mean,
no.
It, you know, like people talk about, oh, it's so complicated. There's so many ends to tie up. How could somebody not talk? I think it seems pretty easy if it's, you know, if they keep it controlled to certain people that were already picked to be that before the thing started. They have something to lose if they come out and talk about it, because they got their military ties and their pensions and all that stuff wrapped up in it. Yeah. And I'm guessing, you know, that, you know, I'm sure that the charity 9/11 money was probably, you know, funneled off to wherever and disappeared, but I'm guessing that the victims probably got a lot of benefits from being, you know, the poor victims. I'm sure they got a lot of sympathy and a lot of donations and a lot of benefits from it. So why would they want to come forward and say that it was bullshit? Because, you know, one, they're in on it, and two, they, you know, they get sympathy for the rest of their lives. You know, those poor people, they supposedly lost somebody in 9/11, you know. So why would they want to say anything? It's just, it's too cushy for them.
Yeah, no, it's true.
I mean, that, like that charity thing, like how much money did that, when Brad Pitt and all those idiots went on TV and said, send us money for 9/11, they had that telethon where they raised a ton of cash, you know. So, you know, if they gave, you know, 1% of it to the families, that probably set up all those families on top of the insurance money they got, so that they would never want to say anything, because they're going to lose millions.
Yeah. I'm going to send you those pictures. Here's the original. This is the picture that is from, you know, dated when I was talking about. And then I'll show you the one with the daughter on his lap. And they shopped in the background, whatever, and shopped her on there. And you can see, like, if you look at his sideburns, the way his hair is, you look at the light reflections on his sideburns underneath his eyes, you'll definitely see that it's the same picture. And they just shopped her on his lap. There's that one, and here is the second one. Yeah, take a look at those. That's the pilot of Flight 11. And this I found out by looking into him on the ground. I mean, we had these pictures, but I put the rest of the story together by doing that. So people say, oh, have you actually looked into this, you know, besides talking to people? Yeah, I have. And the other victim that was from around here, his father had a gas station. I went in. I wasn't going to just strike up the conversation with him right away, but I wanted to go in and catch a feel of what his mood was and how we talked to people and stuff. So I went in like I was a customer. And then I was going back a second time, like a week or two later, and they had closed. He closed up. No, it's already been, you know, that was already 10 years after 9/11 when he closed up, so I don't think that necessarily had anything to do with it, but he just closed up.
Yeah, that first one, he looks very 70s with his hair.
Yeah, that's not a picture from anywhere near 9/11, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so I see that picture, and then see the girl that's on this lap on the other one?
Yeah. The shadows are all wrong. The shadows on his face and the shadows on her face are totally different.
Yeah, that's Photoshop. Look at the light on his sideburns and around his eyes. It's the same in both pictures. That is the same picture.
Right.
And they did that.
Yeah,
they did that.
It.
Yeah, they did that to date the picture more current. Rather, that way people don't think there's anything funny. Now, when he comes back, let's just say he comes back in 5 years from now. That's 2020. If that picture's from 1980, he will be 40 years older than that picture. Who is going to recognize him?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And they lied about the date, too. So, you know, she said they moved there in 95. They moved there in 90. Like, it's just – there's just so many holes with their story. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'm glad I found that out, though. Because anytime I try to tell anybody around here, the first thing they say is, what about Oganowski? And I always say, hey, you know, what about him? You know, I say he's one of the – and that's when they really don't believe me, because I can usually say, oh, person never existed, blah, 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 blah. But I can't. He did exist. But he's one of the ones that I definitely think took a payoff. And he's the very most likely candidate for it, being a military guy his whole life. You know, it's just another deployment for him. And if that's going to get them a free house and whatever the benefits, why not, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Robert, do you hear that feedback?
What the hell is that? Is that one of your
phones? Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm going to put on hold for 30 seconds so you don't get that.
Yeah. It's maybe the cell phone or something, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was just wondering if that was coming through on the recording or not. If it was just me.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
All right, cool. I'm gonna vamp for a second. I'm gonna go get a beer. Talk to the people.
No, the feedback was me, guys. Sorry about that. That was definitely me. I went out of range with my headset.
No problem.
I had to get a drink myself.
So what do you account for? I mean, I know there's absolutely, I guess, no video showing people exiting the building directly. Is that the case?
Zero.
That's pretty amazing in itself.
That's one of the best points, the fact that there's no video. Because if you think about it, you know, this is the media capital of the world.
Exactly.
That's what they call New York.
Any cameraman.
Now, we
set
know
up on
the
that
Twin
shot.
Towers burned, at least what we were shown on TV.
Sure.
We were shown that they burned for over an hour, you know, close to an hour, over an hour, a little bit. So they burned for over an hour before any collapses, and they have no video in New York City of people leaving the towers. That would be the most dramatic shot of all time. Anybody
right.
that got that video would have won Pulitzer Prizes or whatever the hell the awards are that they give to reporters. I'm serious. That'd be like the most dramatic video ever. People running out of the World Trade Center. They tell us 50,000 people worked in there. If 3,000 people died, there should be 47,000 people on those streets. 47,000. There's no video of it. So now people say, oh, people weren't there. No, the media was there. And not only that, the helicopters were in the sky. They didn't get no shots of it. It's not like they had to walk across any barriers or anything to do it.
No,
and then the other thing is so you're trying to tell me that 52 people filmed an unexpected off-course plane doing 500 miles an hour in a crowded skyline, but nobody, none of them and nobody else got one video of people leaving the thing that it hit for a whole hour.
Right.
How can anybody believe that?
Right, and there's no long shots. There's no shots of, like, from far Manhattan of the towers going down or any sort of smoke stuff from a distance. You know, and I heard on the day that they put out a call to people that if you have any video, come turn it in. So it seems like nobody took a picture, but if anybody did take a picture, maybe at the time because they were so in shock, they went and just turned it into the local police station, saying, you know, here's the definitive evidence you need, and you know it just got round filed.
Yeah.
Do you remember hearing that on the day they were like, you know. They were announcing. I remember on NBC they were saying, "And if you have any video of this, please
no, I remember.
Please send it in so that we can help
and then,
figure
and then
out what
supposedly
happened."
Camera Planet. Everybody sent it to Camera Planet.
What's that? Camera Planet?
It was a website set up to basically hoard in all the evidence. Camera Planet. It was like Camera Planet 9/11 or whatever. It kind of became like the amateur archive for 9/11 footage. There was so many gigabytes of amateur footage there. It was pretty much all there. Like, you know how there's the 9/11 TV archives for the network? Yeah, this was pretty much like the amateur archive. Everything was there.
Hmm.
And I remember we looked into the guy that ran it, and there was something really shady about his past. It's so much stuff's gone on. I can't remember specifically what the deal was with him. There was something with him, though. I don't remember what it was. I should go back and look, but they kind of caught me off guard speaking about that. I haven't mentioned Camera Planet in years.
Well, yeah, I'd like to hear more about that. If you find out anything, let us know.
Yeah,
I'll be listening in for sure to your broadcast.
Because I know I've talked about it on some old shows that I have in my old archive. I'll go back and listen to what I said about it. It's just been so long. But yeah, there were like 500 gigs of friggin' uploaded amateur video, supposed amateur video, you know?
Right.
And then there's other things that make me know that it's fake video, like... Okay, if you looked at the World Trade Center, if you looked at any of the schematics of the building or whatever, the windows were 6 feet tall. This video that's supposedly showing people that would be jumpers trying to squeeze out windows above the impact zone, and the windows are all about 3 feet. I mean, these people can't even come close to fitting out the windows. So it's so sloppy for them to do that. But you know how it is. They spawn all these different theories every time they make a mistake. You know, just like with the Steel Spire one, I believe, you know, that's a CGI video. I don't believe this thing is so well prepared. It's been in preparation for probably over 30 years. And there is no way that they're going to let video get out that's not thoroughly looked through. Any mistakes on that is on purpose to spawn these different theories from DEW with the Steel Spire video. Or you got the video, I think it's the Loose Corsain shot where the left wing's missing of the plane, and that makes people talk about holograms. And you got, you know, different speed of the towers in the video makes people talk about controlled demolition. And it's just they do these things on purpose. There's no way any of those videos were accidentally put out. I just don't feel that there is. I don't know how you feel about that.
No, I agree totally that stuff is, and I think things are, that even were planned on the day to be like, I think they were focused. Grouped out or something like that, or processed through think tanks where they figure that this will come out in 5 years, and this will somebody will figure this out in 10 years, and somebody will figure this out in 20 years. I think that there's still stuff's going to come out in the future, and it's going to be like a big to do with all the conspiracy people for a couple days, and then they'll go on to whatever, and it's an engineered like that just to keep the machine going, you know, the conspiracy machine and the war machine and all these different machines that have spawned. It's just a continual process that I think will probably, you know, when we're all old and gray, you know, that we'll still be hearing about new stuff coming out about 9/11.
Brian, what do you make of the gelatin bee stuff? Do you know about that? That group of students?
Oh, yeah. If you read my 9/11 blog that I wrote, the one that I told you had all the thousands of views,
okay.
I have a big article about the gelatin bee. We were kind of there when that broke, that information. I have a lot of stuff on it, actually, and including their pictures and stuff of how they had the towers gutted out on the 91st floor. There's the diagrams of the trick they were trying to pull with the jumpers. Now, I originally believed, and I'm not sure if I still believe this. I'm pretty sure I don't. I just think the video of all the jumpers is faked and photoshopped. But for a while, I did believe that they threw some dummies out, and that's what I thought the gelatin bee was preparation for, because there was pictures of them with a platform coming out of the window and with the towers on fire, and they would do a stunt all the time where like one would walk out on a ledge like naked and be filmed. Like, it almost makes you think that maybe they were filming that for a green screen or something. Yeah. I really don't know what to make of that anymore. I tend to honestly think it's more simple, and they just made that video, you know, from scratch from a computer or whatever. But for a long time, I definitely believe that they threw dummies out the window. I don't really believe that anymore. And, you know, some things, your mind changes. You know, that was, you know, 3.5 years ago when I wrote that, and it was like 4 years ago when I first found out about it. So I've changed a little bit since then. But originally, yeah, I thought that's what they did to stage all the jumpers. You try to get their book, trying to remember, I think the book is just called The Bee Thing or whatever. You try and get their book and to verify the stuff we had, and the book is $450.
Right. How about that?
Yeah, so who's going to pay for that, you know? $450 for the book, guy.
Wow. So what is the gelatin bee for people who don't know, like me?
It was an art project The Israeli? There was a group of art students. It was originally reported they were Israeli, but they weren't. They were like Venetian or something, I believe. I forget now. It's been so long. And they did a stunt on the 91st floor where they would go out on the ledge for a few months or whatever, and they would have a helicopter film them, and there were diagrams in their book. I'll give you the diagrams. Hold on. There were diagrams in their book that were very, very suspicious after you hear what happened with 9/11. Diagrams of the towers on fire with like a balcony coming out with a guy on it, and then they're stationed right where the jumpers came out of, and then they have actual photographs of the 91st floor, and it's completely gutted with the exception of some cardboard boxes.
Right, making it makes a cardboard box is making a partition down the room so you conveniently can't see the other side of it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to try and grab those for you right now. I have all these photos somewhere. Let me see. Yeah, so that was what I believed for a long time was what the jumpers were. But now after seeing a lot of Photoshop and seeing so much fake video everywhere else and seeing the staged video with the jumpers trying to get out the windows that were too small, I tend to think that the jumpers were just totally fake.
Right. The only I've seen footage of jumpers and then the same footage with the same thing going on in the background, same people in the foreground moving around, and they showed debris falling down. Yeah. So like where's the debris if there were jumpers, you know obviously one or both of those are fake if there's two separate accounts with the same action going on in the same scene, and you know one has debris and one has jumpers, you know something's wrong there.
Yeah, for sure. You're just gonna have to give me a minute on that. The gelatin bee picks, I have them. I just have to find them on here.
That's cool. Take your time.
But yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought the jumpers were for a while.
So how was the game?
The game was awesome, man. Cool. That was one of the best football games I've been to, man. The crowd really came out for Brady, and they were chanting his name every time we had the ball. It was like you were at wrestling or something. They were Brady, Brady, Brady. It was crazy, dude. Crazy. Uh-huh. And we smashed them.
Cool. I've only been to one NFL game in my life. My friend had tickets to a preseason game for the Seahawks, and it was when they were building in their new stadium. So they were in Husky Stadium. They were in a college stadium. And I was really shocked at how crappy it looked compared to on the TV.
Yeah.
You notice how they paint everything, like the uniforms are more crisp and the field is more looks nicer and the stadium actually looks nicer.
Yeah.
The same thing with the NBA. If you see like the home court, you know, on the ground, you look at it, it looks kind of beat up and crappy, but as soon as they show it on TV, it looks just beautiful. Like it was you know, repainted. So like that's good thing for people to take with them when they look at TV. You know, you really have no idea what you're looking at. It's it's all manipulated as far as I can tell.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Better than life. The other thing too is I do believe I could be wrong, but I believe when we were over on Let's Roll Forums, that's basically where the gelatin bee thing started to catch some steam. And the fact that I had that falling out with them and was attacked, and this guy was trying to sue me and everything, telling people I was responsible for 9/11, all types of crazy stuff. After their actions, I tend to distrust a lot of evidence that came from there. Not everything, but I have to go over everything with a fine comb right now. So I'd really have to go back through the gelatin bee stuff, and I just don't think I would go back to believing that that was dummies thrown out the window. I really don't. I don't think they had anybody up there throwing stuff out. I did for a while, but I don't anymore. I think that video was faked.
Yeah, I don't think it pays for anybody talking about this stuff to hang
their
hat,
no point.
Hat on anything.
At least people as few. Yeah, at least people as you need involved. You know, you don't need a whole crew throwing dummies out a window and have them involved and have to worry about getting them out of the towers and all types of problems.
Right, but I'm saying like whatever conspiracy of the week there is, anybody who says that this is it, this is definitively the answer, usually in a few months to years gets proved wrong. So I think it's better to talk about this stuff and keep the conversation alive with folks. But if people, like especially the people who make money off this stuff, they
they hang their hat on a certain thing, and then that's where they live and die on that. And that, I think that's just foolish. If people are really
it is foolish. You have to make mistakes. That's the only way to progress in this. And people have to understand that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you admit them and correct them. Don't be stubborn. Correct your mistakes. I've changed my ideas about what happened on 9/11 a few times now. I mean, I wasn't always thinking it was a hoax. I thought it was a false. At first, I thought it was the official story. Then I thought it was a false flag where people died. You know, and now I'm where I'm at. It's three totally different ways of looking at it. But I'm not ashamed of anything I believed before. I still post links to my old archive where I might have talked about something I might not believe anymore, like the gelatin bee or something like that. I just let people know, hey, these are my old shows. Some of my views aren't the same anymore. So just know that. And this is where you can find my more current views. And I give them the link to my more current stuff. That's all, you know. There's nothing wrong.
It's better to look for things that are impossible rather than trying to say that this is a thing that is possible, because usually there's something in the pipe that comes out later to prove people wrong, and it's been like that since the beginning, as far as I can tell. Everything I got into conspiracy about originally has been proven to be controlled opposition, you know. But I'm still into it because I know that there is definitely something wrong. You know, I just try and deal with it as best I can and not let it, you know, not try and sink my whole argument by writing it, you know, letting it all ride on red or whatever.
Yep.
I think that's something for people to take away from this talk is, you know, it's not about, you know, this week everybody thinks it's this and this is what we're going to do. It's about just observing the whole situation as it goes, paying attention when it comes out in the future, and looking back in the past as best you can, and just, you know, trying to make sense of it, you know, in the now as best you can, without, you know, setting yourself up for further disappointment.
it's
a tough road, you know. It's like, you know, we're all doing this because we care about it, you know, and unfortunately the device we have to use to verify this stuff is completely given to us. It's you know, as controllable as they want to make it, you know. So if people are making their argument on, you know, 9/11 is this or that, it's you're already making a mistake by trying to nail it down to something just by saying it, you know. Saying no planes is a lot safer than saying controlled demolition is the thing, or you know, nuclear bombs or whatever people say.
Yeah,
you know. It's
like, I found those pictures. Do you want me to send them?
Yeah, go for it.
Gelatin bee photos. All right. Where is it? Here we go. All right, here's a few right here.
So something me and Chris Kendall brought up, we were talking about a couple weeks ago. What would you do if you met somebody who is basically a sheep that didn't really know anything that was going on, but was starting to have doubts about the official story and such like that? Where would you start talking to them about this sort of thing? What would you be the first thing you would go to?
Well, I tell you what I do. I just sent you a bunch of pictures from the gelatin bee.
Cool.
I got a couple more too. I'll give them in a second. Well, I tell you what I do. I take the approach that people say is the wrong approach to take, and it's the exact opposite of what people do. I go right after the planes. I go right after the planes of the things of 175 and the still shots of it halfway in the tower, and no hole, no debris. And then I show I probably go to the fake video where they show – I'll send you the link. I'm sure you've seen it. They show the daytime news shows the explosion on the tower on the left side. The nighttime news shows the explosion on the tower again, so it's synced. But at the nighttime, now there's a plane. There was no plane on the original. And now that there's a plane, the Hudson River, all the boats in it, and all the buildings in the foreground have disappeared. All that's left is the plane and the tower. And I would like to ask people, you know, what effect on a camera, what malfunction would ever cause something like that?
Right on. That's a good one.
You know what I mean? It just would not happen.
Yeah. What about you, Robert? You got any plan of attack for that when you meet somebody in that sort of space, headspace?
No, not really.
No? You say, sorry, can't help you.
I just try not to talk about it.
Hey, give me 1 second to get a drink, guys.
Yeah, go for it, man. I'll talk to
give
Robert.
Give me one second. I'll be right back.
Cool.
What kind of beer you got going there, Jim?
Qingdao. Lao Qingdao.
I think it
retails in... in the U.S. for like $6 to $8
okay.
a bottle. Here it's less than a dollar.
Okay. With a lager?
Yeah, it's made by German brewers that moved into North China a long time ago and started a brewery. And now it's like the number one beer in China.
Okay. All right, I'm back. Thank cool. you.
Yeah, so I usually don't start with 9/11 with people. If they're just starting to question things, I'll...
Oh, I thought you meant specifically 9/11. I wouldn't start with 9/11 either. I would probably start with health-related issues, something everybody can kind of see.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Big Pharma or, you know, the food industry, you know, I kind of work my way in with that. And then maybe even bring up some simple things, like even as simple as the Indians and Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll bring up I'll come if I want to get them onto Media Fakery or whatever and realize that the media lies. I'll show the Charles Jago clip, the CNN clip from the early 90s, the Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
I'll show them that. I mean, some people I do just start right on 9/11, though. And if I do, I usually go right after the plans. It's real, you know, it's so hard for me to go where I want to go because I want to start with the most important stuff, that there's no victims. But people just will not hear that till they're deep, 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 many times years into it, you know? It's
yeah.
so hard that you – and I don't want to bring them along the same way I went, because what am I going to do? Show them disinformation? Show them these documentaries that I saw that I know now are bullshit? But it's almost like they almost have to go through those emotions to ever realize all these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I usually start by showing people subliminal embeds in a picture. And I'll usually try and find like a picture of like a forest or something. And I'll say, like, okay, check it out. You see this, you know, look at this part here, look at this part here, what do you see there? And I'll, you know, kind of help them a little bit, but I'll try not to lead them too much, but I'll try and show them the easiest one I can that says, you know, sex or, you know, obey or whatever. These things are on almost every picture on the internet. And then I'll take them outside and say, look at a tree. You know, tell me where the part says sex on that tree out there. And they're like, of course it doesn't, because that's a tree. And it's like, yeah. So now you have a reference point. Now you know that there is, you know, the outside world, and there is the box. So if you're believing it from coming from the box, then you're making a fundamental mistake, because anything on here can be manipulated at any time. And that's a weird way to go about it, I'm sure, but. For the people I meet around here, that's usually what gets them to come back and say, well, okay, now tell me about 9/11.
Yeah.
So I think it has to be something that's like really jarring. Like like most people don't even know how much they stare into a box all day. And if you can jolt them out of that real quick, that's a real shortcut, I find, to getting them to talk about all these other things online. You know, it's kind of like, hey, you, crazy person, you know. It's like there's a crazy person going to another crazy person and saying, hey, dude, you're crazy. You know, come check out this website. It proves you're crazy. You know, so I think it's like you got to really get to a human level with people before you can start going back to the computer and showing them websites about things. And that's yeah. really tough to do in this world, because people are so glued to their boxes. What's that noise in the background?
The little banging noise?
Yeah,
or
a little,
clicking noise.
Little boinging, Skyping noise or something?
I think it's the guy outside hammering.
Oh, okay. No, it's electronic noise. I think it's something on the computer.
Maybe me clicking the mouse, like this?
It's the files being received or whatever.
Yeah, it's files being received.
Oh, yeah, no, I sent you those pictures. I just sent you the rest of the gelatin bee ones. If you look, the one I was talking about with the balcony and them throwing something off is there. That's, you know, part of the reason I thought they were throwing dummies out. I mean, they pretty much illustrated in their photos.
Mm-hmm.
But this could be a red herring. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it's a red herring to make you think that it was not 100% media fakery, that there were, you know, this actual people involved throwing these dummies out, if you happen to make it that far. Now, the people that are just on the surface looking at this are never going to see this anyway. So this is geared for people that have made it that far, and then it's trying to throw you in a loop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. I could be wrong.
Right, and that's tough to gauge with some people. It's like some people can talk on certain subjects and they sound like they know what they're talking about. Then you go off on what you know, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, like you're immediately beyond the pale with them, and they think you're, you know, you've grown horns all of a sudden.
Yeah.
It's tough to gauge. You got to take it like case by case. That's why I don't even go and talk to people about this stuff around here, because I know eventually the foreigners that I know around here from other countries are going to come to me at some point and say, tell me about 9/11. I'm not going to have to bring up anything to them. It eventually will come up. The longer I know someone, it's kind of come up. So I just wait for it. And then I'll give them the – I'll give them both barrels then. If they ask me about it, I will throw down, you know, for a good solid 15 minutes on it. And then I'll say, you know, what's next? You know, let's go get a beer or something. You know, because if you keep harping on it, then it kind of ruins the moment. And I try to, like, just do it in little bits, like, you know, plant a little seed here and there and see what results happen.
I try and actually sit people down. That way I can show them a bunch of stuff if they're receptive to it, you know. I've turned a few people. I've got, like, there's definitely people that I've turned off, for sure. A lot of people don't even talk to me anymore. But there's a couple of, I'd say two really close friends that I really, really definitely got them looking into things. And one of them has taken it in another direction and gone really far into the health stuff. He really knows his stuff about that way better than I do now. And then I've got, like, you know, I got a cousin that knows that I know what I'm talking about, but he doesn't really tell too many people. Sometimes he does post some things on Facebook, but he doesn't, like, you know, do anything too much. And then most of my friends think I'm fucking nuts for it. I mean, most of them still talk to me, but a couple didn't. And then most of them just think I'm nuts for it, and they won't even talk about it. They won't mention nothing about these things. And it's like the other day I went out to breakfast with my friend. She moved to Florida. She came back up to visit. We went out for breakfast, and she said how she's scared to get on a plane because of the terrorists and the ISIS. And I said, why are you so scared of the ISIS? And she mentioned the, you know, the beheadings. And I said, well, what did you think about the video when you seen it? She's like, oh, my mother told me, blah, blah. I'm like, you see what the problem is now? You just take somebody else's word of mouth. I was like, that video's bullshit. And I was like, I'll show you. Well, I don't have time to look at these things. I'm like, well, you're letting – she's like, I don't really care. I'm like, well, you're letting them worry you and stress you out. There's nothing to be afraid of with that. And then she even said, because she flew up on 9/11. She even said, I like flying on 9/11 because there's, like, nobody at the airport because, you know, they're all – I'm kind of scared because I got to come with my daughter. I won't send her alone because I'm scared some, you know, terrorists are going to blow up the airplanes. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I almost just, like, face-palmed and put my face in my food. Like,
yeah.
That's how people think, you know. It's like my father, he's so stubborn. I used to think he's really smart, and what he is he's book smart. And there's a very big difference between book smart and some people call it street smart, but I think it's a little different than that. That's something else. But it's just being book smart isn't what you need in this world to get by. It's
right,
you know,
right.
Because being book smart just means you can learn things and repeat them, basically. Recite what you're told, and then many times it's complete bullshit. And you recite it so much, you believe it. And then you trust these organizations, and my father will believe anything that's on the news. Anything. You could put anything on the news, he'll believe it. I couldn't show him different. I tried to – when I saw Loose Change, okay,
uh-huh.
I was real emotional. You know, I'll admit it. I was really – it kind of – I don't know, man. I was really, like, scared after I seen it. You know, I was. I don't know how else to say it. I was scared. I called my father, and I said, I got something I really got to show you. And I built a web page with some videos, and I had Loose Change ready and a couple of documentaries. Came over, he sat down and watched it with me. And now we know that movie's bullshit anyways, but listen to what he said. I said, so what do you think about this? You know, this isn't what they said on the news. Look at all these explosions and firefighters talking about it, blah, blah, blah. He said, that was just the building coming apart and twisting and stuff. I'm like, you trying to tell me these firefighters, hundreds of them, don't know what explosions sound like rather than metal twisting in a building? I'm like, do you really believe that? And he said, yeah. And I said, I said to him, you're really not as smart as I thought you were.
Right. It's like that CBS footage they had when they showed the firefighters going into the bottom floor. When they showed
the
that
spiral staircase, kind
of. Yeah, and it was a couple days after 9/11 when they showed it, like in the evening, and they said they had all these explosions going off while they were in there, and the reporters came, you know, they did a voiceover saying, "Oh, the sound you're hearing is the sound of jumpers hitting the ground."
I remember.
And, you know, and it's like, but it's like, kaboom, kaboom. Yeah. It's like, wow, that must have been one fat motherfucker, you know, to make that much noise.
Yeah, you kept hearing it. The firefighters were in the lobby, and you kept hearing the jumpers hit the pavement. I know which one you're talking about.
Right, but that sound was not a body hitting the pavement. That was explosions.
It was real loud. It was like a car hitting the pavement.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Real crazy. And once you get people, if I'm trying to get people that are already looking at 9/11 and already know, you know, it's not what the government said, you know, I will put the stuff about the victims out there, because they'll mention it. They'll be, you know, and I'll be like, no, I don't think that there were any victims, you know, and then I'll get into talking about the towers and the little tricks they pulled and how it wasn't occupied or how it was occupied. And I don't know. It's a hard thing to get across to people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Trying to explain to people that how life is better knowing this stuff. You know, they think that your life will be a life of fear or something, or paranoia or something if you figure all this stuff out. But actually I haven't slept better since I started figuring this stuff out. You know, my life before was, I really feel like I wasn't even alive really until I started learning about this stuff, because then I started realizing that, you know, my value as an individual on this planet means way more than it did before 9/11. You know, it's like, you know, knowing about this stuff, being in such a relatively small group compared to everyone else, it's like I am starting to be more realized as a person, because I'm finding out about this, you know, about 9/11 and all these shootings and all this other things. And I'm also finding out about how the whole system works and how, you know, our whole lives have pretty much been a lie. You know, that stuff is comforting to me, and it's the same thing that scares the hell out of people when they're on the other side of it. It's really tough to get across to folks that it's actually better to know. Wouldn't you agree?
Do you mind if I just plug my site real quick so anybody listening can know where to find my stuff?
Please do.
Yeah. Anybody that's listening, if you want to see any of my 9/11 research, or I have a blog that I wrote that's like probably 30 pages long. It's really, really in-depth to the whole angle of the towers being empty and there not being any victims and all that, you know, with the links to all the research that I did, like including the, you know, the death index and where I got that from, and the links back to the architectural site that had information on the hollow towers, and, you know, everything's in there and sourced. It's a really good read if you haven't looked into this information yet. I mean, it will take you probably 40 minutes or so to read it, but it's well worth it. You can find that. You can find all my radio shows. You can find my complete archive of radio shows. Me and my co-hosts also write blogs on different subjects. That's where the 9/11 thing is. It's in my blog section, but there's other blogs in there. And the site is therealnewsonline.com, therealnewsonline.com. And if you want to contact me, my contact information is on the back page, the About Us section. There's a million ways: Gmail, Facebook, you know, Skype, all that stuff. And we do radio shows whenever we can. We're going to do them, but they'll usually be on Wednesday nights around 10 p.m. Eastern time when we do them. And we always take live calls. Not
cool.
Too. Thank
yeah,
you.
I recommend everybody out there, you know, take a look, because every time I've heard this gentleman talk, he tells me something that I didn't know, and I just generally enjoy his attitude about things. It's nice to have somebody to talk to who gets it, you know, and is not afraid to be real about things. So, Robert, would it be possible for us to put a link to his site on TalkShoes so that people
absolutely
can find it from there?
Sure. The little notes. You got it.
Cool. All right. So I guess we should wrap this up then.
Okay.
It's been amazing, Brian. I thoroughly enjoyed this, and thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot for having me. Yeah, anytime. And if you guys want to call into my show whenever we're talking about something that interests you, we always take live calls. Everybody gets through. I mean, we don't even cut people off. I mean, if people want to talk for 20 minutes, we usually let them, unless we have a lot of material we have to get through. So anytime you guys want to Skype in, you can Skype. It's The Real News Online on Skype also. Skype's free anywhere in the world for anybody. Or there's a telephone number. It's up on the site, and you can just dial that in from your phone if you want.
Great.
Can you guys give me your link, and can you just tell my audience what your site is? Because I'm going to have this up in my archive, and they might want to come listen to your stuff.
Sure. Mine is the True Lies podcast, What Lies in Truth, and it's on TalkShoe and Stitcher.
Stitcher? What is that? I never heard of that.
It's a podcast aggregate. Yeah, it's fairly popular.
All right, True Lies on TalkShoe and on Stitcher?
Correct.
All right.
And I also do a call with Marcus Allen on Tuesdays, and I also do my own weekend update that's in the Marcus Allen's vault if you want to check that out.
All right, excellent.
All right, and yeah, let's try and do this again, and if not, good luck to you, kind sir, and thank you for your time.
All right, guys, thank you, and when do you think you'll have this up on your archive so I can grab it?
It'll be up within an hour.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Sweet.
Cool. All right, guys, it's been great talking to you.
Great. Good night.